Thank you, Brother Ethan. Appreciate that. Let's open our Bibles this morning, please. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. It's good to have you visitors with us. Some from Denton and others from New York. And it came a long way to visit your church. I mean, you ought to be proud of your church. People are coming from New York to visit our church. What a blessing. God is a big God, amen. There's no limits, there's no boundaries, amen. There's no borders to God's power. Praise the Lord. All right, it's good to have each one of you here. It's good to see Amadi and Miss Ingrid back. Amen. I know they're not visitors, they're family. They're family, amen. But I sure am glad to see them here today with us. And each one of you as well, amen. Let's all stand together if you would, please, one last time. I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. I will reveal to you tonight the... of course, you already heard what the total number of tracks was for Track Attack, 10,003. But I have some... I have some individual accomplishments that I'm going to announce tonight. We have a 100 club, 200 club, 300 club, 400 club, 500 club, 700 club. And we have four people in our church that were a member of the 1,000 club during this last 4 weeks. That is a blessing. That does my heart. When I was tallying up those numbers last night, I was rejoicing, amen. What a blessing. So anyway, let's read beginning in verse 8 this morning. Thank you for being here. Let's pay attention to the Word of God. I won't be long this morning. First, in verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And I say that as well. Amen. I repeat, echo that statement. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, wouldn't that be a blessing? People from all around coming, hearing about the faith of a church. For God is my witness, and you know, God witnesses everything we do. Amen. God witnesses every thought we have. Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, notice, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Notice, I long to see you, excuse me, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you, notice, by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Brother Abrams was talking this morning in Sunday school about hope. And hope, it comes through faith. And faith and hope comforts the Christian. Amen? Comforts together. Mutual faith. Verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And that's God's desire, folks. God does not want his people to remain ignorant. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. That means I was restrained. I wasn't allowed to. That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. That's why Brother Abrams is going to Hong Kong. God's called him there. But he desires to have some fruit among those people. Amen? You know, Christians, you can mark it down. When your heart's right with God, you'll desire to have fruit. Amen. You'll desire to have fruit. That's being other souls saved because of your life. Because of your testimony. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, as in me is, I am ready. Well, that's a good thing to be ready. To preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is not a gospel reserved for the select or the elect. It is a whosoever will, amen. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in verse 17, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. I want to draw your attention back again. It says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. I want to preach to you for just for a few minutes, really, on the revelations in the gospel. The revelations in the gospel. Father, I need your help this morning. I want to be quick. I want to be brief. But I want to be concise. Oh, Father, I want to be filled with your power. More importantly, I want to do the work that you've called me to do. And that is to preach your gospel, Father, in the power of your Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears. I pray, God, you would give me wisdom. Give me perfect understanding. Fill this place, God, with liberty, with Holy Spirit unction, authority, and anointing. God, I pray for your help tonight. This morning, I pray you'd work in hearts that are unsaved. I pray, God, that you would strengthen and encourage those that are battling different things, God, different discouragements and things that, Lord, this world fills our minds with. God, please help us today. Do the work that needs to be done in every heart is our prayer. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for visitors. Thank you for children. Thank you, God, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. A revelation is something that you that is revealed unto us. It's something that is that the word manifest is, means the same thing there in verse 19. That which may be made known of God, notice, is manifest. It is revealed in them. And that's talking about everyone. The revelations that God wants us to have and understand, the things that God wants us to see are the things that God has revealed to us. And the Bible says that those things have been made manifest or revealed to us in this world. The Bible says in verse 20, if you look there, the invisible things of Him, the things that you can't see with your eyes. You say, I've never seen God. I've never seen Jesus. Well, those invisible things of who? Of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The gospel has left this world. Listen to me. The creation of God, God Himself, is no man's debtor. He has not left one person in this world without enough revelation to understand that they need a Savior. Amen. It's revealed to every single person alive. I just want to point out some things here in this passage, and we'll be quick and we'll be done. That this morning, things that are revealed, truths that are revealed in the gospel. Number one, I want you to see in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The power of God is revealed in the gospel. All the power of God is revealed in the gospel. Let me explain to you, if you're not aware, what the gospel is. The gospel simply means good news. The gospel means, according to 1 Corinthians 15, it's that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the good news. By the way, that is the greatest news you will ever hear.
Amen.
That is the greatest news anybody will ever hear, that Jesus Christ has died, that He was buried, but however, glory to God, by the power of God, He has been resurrected. Amen. The power of God is revealed in the gospel because, as I tell people every time I go soul winning, I tell people, listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, what? That God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the power of God.
Amen.
What's the power of God, preacher? The power of God is the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
You may have been sick in the past and may have gone to a doctor. You may have got some medicine. No doubt every one of us has probably experienced that wonderful hospital visit, that doctor clinic, that pharmaceutical theft. Theft. Well, hey, you know what? But if your heart stops beating long enough and you stop breathing long enough and they pronounce announce you dead, there's no medicine in this world. There's no doctor in this world. There's no hospital. There's no. You're going straight to the morgue. You're going straight to the funeral home because your life is over. But there is a power in heaven.
Amen.
There is a power of God that can raise Jesus, who had been dead for 3 days,
Amen.
From the dead. The power of God, by the way, is the only power that can do that. I said the power of God is the only power that could ever do that. You say, well, wait a minute. I remember Lazarus coming back to life. I remember the widow's son came back to life. Jesus did that. That's right. Jesus did that. Jesus is God. Jesus is the power of God. But one thing you need to understand is that Jesus was raised to life to never die again.
Amen.
All of those other people died again.
That's right.
They're dead now, physically. And they're awaiting that resurrection. But the power of God revealed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the same power that saved my soul on May 13th, 2004. The same power that saved a Jasmine yesterday and morning, and Catherine yesterday morning, and Mina yesterday morning, and another young lady Friday afternoon. And the same power of God is going to save every Chinese that Brother Abrams is allowed to lead to the Lord. It's the power of God, and it's only revealed to us. It's revealed to us in its fullness and very plain to see in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because God raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, Ye also hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, the reason we need the gospel is because we were physically born spiritually dead. We were physically born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins and iniquities and all kinds of disgusting, vile things that we sin because we're born that way, but we also sin because we choose to sin.
That's right.
By nature. But God says, you hath He quickened. What that word means? Gave you life.
Amen.
Brought you back to life from the dead. You know what? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die.
Amen.
Never. That's the power of God. That's
Amen.
The power of God. That's the power of God revealed to us in the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's the power of God.
Amen.
The second thing, there's lots of them. I'm just going to touch on a few because I'm going to run out of time in a hurry. The second thing is the salvation of God.
Thank God.
Revealed. The power of God unto salvation. There is a real hell, folks. There's a real hell. The Bible says it's a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where there's eternal torment, everlasting punishment, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's day and night, forever and ever, torment where the worm dieth not, where the soul will never cease to exist. Your soul is eternal. Your soul will never cease to exist.
Okay.
The soul of Tory Franklin is eternal. The soul of Alyssa Fogg, the soul of the pastor, the soul of all of mankind is eternal, and it will never cease to exist. However, comma, some will exist in torment forever.
Okay.
In a lake of fire. Some will rejoice, shout, stand and sing the praises of Almighty God on the streets of gold, and rejoicing in their mansion in heaven for all of eternity, by the throne room of God, by the water of life, amen, by the tree of life that bears its fruit in its season. And that some will rejoice for all eternity in that glory land of heaven. Some will be forever in torment, every day and night, forever and ever. And in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed the salvation of God. What's the salvation of God? Rescuing my soul,
Amen.
Your soul, from that place called hell.
Amen.
There's a lot of lies going on about salvation today. You probably noticed that. But the very definition of salvation is rescuing. Rescuing.
Amen.
Rescuing. If I'm saved, then I had to get saved from something first. If you're drowning in the middle of the ocean and you've tried to swim left and right and forwards and backwards and you can't touch the bottom, you can't find land, you're running out of energy, you're running out of strength, the water is coming up to your chest, up to your neck, up to your mouth, up to your nose, up to your eyes, you're going to die. You need one thing, my friend, you need to be rescued. That's what you need. And listen to me, every single soul alive is dying. From the minute you are birthed, your flesh begins to die. And you need salvation.
Amen.
You need rescuing. You need soul salvation to where you... Remember, you're going to be living forever somewhere. The salvation of God is revealed in the fact that Jesus Christ was on the cross, judging, taking all the judgment for my sin. Then He was buried, because that's what sin does, is it kills. But God raised Him from the dead to prove to you and to me that He has the power to save my soul.
Amen.
He has the power to save my soul.
Amen.
See, the salvation of God is not revealed in your good works. But what's your good works going to do to change your heart, friend? Salvation of God is not revealed in the baptistry waters. I tell people all the time, the baptistry water is going to make you wet, but it ain't going to change your heart.
Okay.
It ain't going to change your heart.
No.
You could go to church every day for the rest of your life, and that's not the power of salvation. That's not the salvation of God. You must come to a place where you realize it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. It's revealed in the gospel. I want you to notice in verse 17, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where? In the gospel. The righteousness of God demands payment for sin. Are you listening? What does righteousness mean, preacher? Righteousness means absolute, total justice. Now, you may be able to find a way out of a lawsuit or breaking the law, going to a human judge, my friend, but you'll never find it in facing God. He's perfectly, holy, righteous, completely and entire. And His righteousness is revealed in the fact that His only begotten Son had to die because of sin. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus didn't just bleed, He didn't just suffer, He didn't just agonize, He didn't just get beaten, He died.
Amen.
He died. Sin is not finished until death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel in the fact that sin demanded payment. Judgment. Judgment. Nobody likes that word, I know. It gets real quiet when you start talking about judgment.
Amen.
But friends, listen to me. There's a God in heaven who right now is giving you grace.
Thank God.
Because of the gospel. Right now has given you a church that preaches the gospel. Right now has given you mercy. Right now has spared your life. But you, if you're honest with yourself, you sin against that holy God every day.
Praise the Lord.
Every day.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
But He's righteous and He's holy. And listen to me. One day, your time is up. Your time is up. You're going to face judgment. It's appointed unto a man once to die, but after that, judgment. Nobody likes that word, I know that. But God is a righteous judge. And it's revealed in the gospel. Why? Because His only begotten Son, if He crucified His only begotten Son, you're not going to get away with it.
Amen.
You're not going to get away with it.
Amen.
It's revealed right there in the gospel. His righteousness demands payment for sin. His judgment is because of His righteousness. Well, you say God's love and His mercy. He is love and He is mercy. But the fact is, He's only love and mercy because payment has already been made for your sin. See, His love and His mercy is revealed in the gospel in the fact that I'm born again. And that you, if you're saved today, you're born again. And it's revealed right there in the gospel. Why? Because Jesus already paid for my sin. He already took the judgment of my sin on the cross. He already bore our sins on Himself on that tree. Because God is righteous. God is holy. God is without error. And you cannot pull a fast one on God. No. You're never going to get away with it.
No.
And it's revealed right there in the gospel. Jesus died. So I don't have to. But Jesus did die. Because somebody had to. Somebody had to. I want you to notice the power of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed. The salvation of God is revealed. And finally, verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, notice, of Christ. The Christ of God is revealed. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. See, if I just sit down for a minute and think about the gospel and understand who that was on the cross, it was no mere mortal. It was no mere man. It was no sinner. It was the Christ of God. The Christ means the Messiah, the sent one. That's not His last name, Jesus Christ. Okay, that's His office. That's who He is. Jesus, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. But His last name is not Christ, amen? His last name is Joseph Shepherd boy son. His last name is not Christ. His office is Christ. His position is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And I see Him hanging on that cross and I realize, thank you God for the Christ that you sent from heaven. Thank you God for the sacrifice that you sent for me.
Amen.
I cannot be silent when I see the Christ of God hanging on that old rugged cross. I cannot be silent when I realize that He did all that for me. I can't watch the people of China and Hong Kong and not realize, dear God, they're going to hell, but they need to see the revelations that are found only in the gospel.
Amen.
That's why we send missionaries.
Amen.
That's why we preach. That's why we hand out thousands of tracts all across our city. That's why we sow seeds. That's why we witness. That's why we knock on doors. That's why we talk to strangers. That's why we invite folks to come in on the vans and we offer them candy bars. Oh, you say you're bribing them. No, we're not bribing them. We're rewarding them for coming to church. Why? Because we know that once they hear and see the gospel, the revelations of God Almighty will be open to their eyes and they can get born again.
Amen.
I'm gonna have a fit.
We
can't be silent.
Amen.
We can't sit on our hands. We can't be unfaithful to the one who died for us. The Christ of God is revealed right there on that tree.
Amen.
He's the one that took my place.
Yes,
He took my place. As a lamb to the slaughter, He opened not His mouth. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He died alone for you and me. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. The power of God is revealed in the gospel. The salvation of God is revealed in the gospel. By the way, the salvation that I have is not my own. It's His. He's responsible for it. He's responsible for it. According to Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I couldn't do it myself. You can't do it yourself. But you need to be saved, my friend. Listen to me. I want you to notice one last thing. If you look down in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. If you reject the revelations that are in the gospel, listen to me. If you reject the revelations of God's salvation, God's power, God's righteousness, God's Christ, God's salvation. If you listen to me, pay attention, I'm almost done. If you reject these things, you're going to see the wrath of God. You're going to see the wrath of God. It's already revealed according to Romans 1:18. It's already revealed from heaven against men that hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's already revealed. But it ain't nothing like it's going to be. Because right now, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Right now, you have a window of grace, a space of grace for this time, for such a time as this. But listen to me, my friend. Listen to me, beloved. If you're not saved this morning, what you need to see in this gospel is the wrath of God that's awaiting you if you reject this gospel.
Amen.
If you continue to try to earn it, if you continue to try to be worthy of it, if you could say, well, I'm going to clean up first, I got to make some things right first, and you pass away, just like Brother Abram said, that lady that he was witnessing to in her home, she would not get saved. Distractions. She died a week later. She perished. She's still burning today. She's still burning today. That's not God's fault. Because the righteousness and the salvation and the power and the Christ and the Lamb, the sacrifice, all that has ever been possibly could ever be done for your soul was done in the gospel. It's revealed to us. But the wrath of God awaits those who reject it. Yesterday I was talking to Jasmine. She was supposed to come today. Bless her heart, she didn't make it. I said, Jasmine, you understand you're a sinner? I showed her the verses. All have sinned. There's none righteous. I said, Jasmine, you understand that the wages of sin is death. Not only do you come short of the glory of God, you come short of heaven, but you have to be cast into a lake of fire. There is no middle ground. It's heaven or it's hell. I said, Jasmine, you believe that? You understand that? She said, yeah. I showed her the verses. I said, Jasmine, but the good news, the gospel news, is that Christ died for you. I said, Jasmine, you believe that? You understand that? Yes, sir, I do. I said, Jasmine, then the only thing left is for you to believe in your heart and confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him for salvation. You have to accept, receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And here's what she said. Well, I understand that, but I got to get some things straight first. I said, Jasmine, the Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. I understand, but I got to get some things straight first. I said, Jasmine, let me explain it to you this way. If you were able to hire a maid to clean your house, and you knew she was coming over first thing in the morning, and she was going to clean your house spotless like you've never seen it before, Jasmine, would you stay up all night cleaning your house? Well, no. Why would I do that? I said, exactly. Jasmine, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come in and he's going to clean house. He's going to clean house. But Jasmine, you're sitting there saying, well, I've got to clean house first before I let him in. I said, you're not going to be saved. And I promise you, you're going to forget something in the corner. You're going to forget something on the ceiling. You're going to be still lost, still undone, still unconverted, still unsaved. And you're going to face the wrath of Almighty God when all you've got to do open the door.
Amen.
She put her hand on my New Testament. She bowed her head. And she said, I open the door, Lord. I'll let you in.
Amen.
I'll let you in. Folks, listen to me. There's a day of judgment coming for those who reject the gospel. But there's absolutely no reason to face that wrath. It's all been revealed already in Christ. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power, the only power, that can save your soul. And it's right there in the gospel. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it in my mind, in my heart. I know I'm going straight to heaven. Raise your hand. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed this morning. No one's looking around. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for your power this morning. I pray for your grace to settle in on this place. Lord, just some simple thoughts. But God, your Holy Spirit can still use them tonight, this morning, Father, to work in people's hearts. I believe, God, there's someone here today, maybe more than one. Someone, Father, who's not saved. Who's still trying to clean their own house. Trying to clean and make things right. When Jesus said, just open the door. Let me in. I'll save you. I'll cleanse you with my own blood. I'll give you my righteousness. I'll rescue you from sin and from damnation and from wrath. God, I pray that in this gospel message this morning, you would reveal these things to those that are lost. And Father, in the hearts of your Christians, those who are saved today, Lord, open up our mouths. God, please remove the shame and the embarrassment, the fear. And help us to realize, Father, that in the gospel is revealed your salvation, your glory, your power, your Christ, your Lamb, your mercy, your grace. Oh God, help us, Father, to realize today we must open our mouths. We must tell a lost and dying world about this gospel. We must become more faithful witnesses. We must become more faithful givers to missions. We must become more faithful seed sowers with gospel tracts. God, help us today to heed your voice. I pray your Holy Spirit would take control now of this invitation. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, there's no one looking around this morning.